Lecture topic, Acquiring the Taste of Iman.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa, salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'audu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Faman yuridillahu an yahdiyahu yashrah sadrahu lil-islam. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذاق طعم الإيمان من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم This is part of insan's nature almost, that he chases after, or he aspires for, desires better taste in everything. It comes to food, then those who can afford something better, you find that all the time they're chasing after some better taste. You have some person sometimes, he says to some restaurant, and then what he bought is what probably, for the price that he paid for it, maybe not only his own immediate family, maybe his extended family would have eaten a good meal in that, but he says he just barely managed to just put something into his stomach with that amount, whatever price he paid for it. But why you paid so much for that much? You know, the taste is something else. So now Allah knows best what the taste is. Maybe the taste had to come into it if he paid so much for it. But in any case, the person is prepared to pay so much for the taste. So many things person is chasing behind the taste. Person sometimes is dressed in something. One person, somebody said that what the cost of the jacket he's wearing will probably be more than what just all the clothing in your life that you wore. All the clothing in your life that you wore is addressing now. Somebody, that all the clothing in your life that you wore, this person's jacket is worth more than that. Why he did that? When you look at it, it doesn't even, Allah knows best what it looks like. Maybe again, depending the amount of money that was spent with it, that is what comes into the eyes when you look at it. He says, well, it's a taste that he has. He has a taste for these exotic things and whatever else. So now there's the taste for food, and there's a taste for clothing, there's a taste for the kind of shoes that a person wears, a taste for the kind of phone that he has, and the taste for the kind of car that he drives, and the taste for Allah knows best what not. So in the Hadith Sharif that was recited, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us about tasting the taste of Iman. That if a person has the taste of Iman, then that taste is above and beyond everything else. And that will make any other thing pale into insignificance. Allah Ta'ala has made it permissible to enjoy the halal ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala blesses somebody with. But no matter what a person is blessed with, if he earned it in a halal way, he's using it correctly, he's not making israf, not being extravagant, there's no wastage, then it's fine, it's permissible for him, and he makes shukr on it, he'll get the reward of the shukr too. But all these things put together will pale totally into insignificance when a person has tasted the taste of Iman. So now that is what is to be really aspired for. Now when a person is prepared to spend so much for some very fleeting taste, whether it's for the fleeting taste of some food or some clothing or whatever else, the fleeting, these things will very, very short-lived. Person sometimes, barely minutes later on, is all done, finished, he forgot about it too. And he's now trying to still, he say, well, if I had more place in my stomach, maybe I would have eaten something more, because though I tasted this, but the satisfaction hasn't come yet. I'm not yet satiated with it. So it gives a very short-lived, some thrill, excitement. And then, and the taste of Iman, when a person has acquired the taste of Iman, that taste of Iman permeates within his heart. And then it goes through every limb of his body. That is with him whether he is in the midst of any good times, and it is with him whether he is in the midst of some difficulty and hardship. Whether he is in prosperity, whether he is in poverty, that doesn't go away. When a person has some difficulties, some hard time, now suddenly he's only dreaming about the good times. What he used to do when he had it better and so on and so forth. And now times are difficult. Gone. Even when times are good, sometimes he can't enjoy it. Sometimes there's some health condition, sometimes some other issues. It's all there, but he can't enjoy it. And the sweetness of Iman, the taste of Iman, that is with him in prosperity, it is with him in poverty, it is with him in health, it is with him in sickness, it is with him all the time. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once asked that, how did you bear those difficulties? What kind of difficulty is what we can't imagine? We read about it, we hear about it. But these are not things that can be understood merely by reading it, by listening to it. We'll get some idea of it. But the reality, the one who went through it, only he knows. They say, qabar ka hal murda jane. Qabar ka hal murda jane. What goes on in the grave, only the person who's buried in there knows. Others got some idea. He knows what's going on. Likewise, the person who's experiencing something, nobody else can really know what's going on. They can get some idea maybe. But Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was asked this question, then how did you bear these difficulties on the hot sands of Makkah Mukarramah, being dragged? Person sometimes on a very hot day, and he places his foot on the ground, just bare feet, can't stand there for 1 minute, few seconds. It's extremely difficult. And imagine being dragged and then being placed on the hot sands, and then a heavy boulder being placed on the chest. And this would continue, being lashed and whooped. Why? Because of Iman. That why did you accept this Iman? So now when he was asked this question, how you bought this? How did you manage to undertake this? He said, well, the sweetness of Iman got mixed with the bitterness of the difficulties and hardships. The hardships and the difficulties, the torture that I was being subjected to, the torture was very bitter, but there was the sweetness of Iman. And these two things now were mixed. But he says, but the sweetness of Iman overcame the bitterness of the torture. The sweetness of Iman overcame the bitterness of the torture. And as a result, it became something possible to endure. Now why it became possible to endure? Because the sweetness of Iman was there. And not just there, but the sweetness of Iman was dominant. Overcame it. So this is also present, and that is also present, but that is like that very severe wound, but there's a balm on top of that wound, and that balm has cooled it. It's there, the wound is still there. Take that balm out and the pain will be severe. But if that balm is there, the painkiller was taken, person is, no, it's wound is still wound, that wound is still there, it's still fresh. Alhamdulillah, everything is fine. How it's fine? Because something else is masking the pain. So now this is the taste of Iman, that when this taste comes in, then everything else becomes insignificant. Then a person will enjoy the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, but that won't be his focus of life. That will not be his purpose of his day and night. His life will become different. Now this is what we are being taken towards in this Hadith Sharif, when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Zaqa ta'amal iman. that person has tasted the taste of Iman. Now, Iman, taste, how does this link up? You taste something that is some substance that you can put into your mouth, some food that you can taste, and you can say this is sweet, it's sour, what is it? How do you taste something that is intangible? How do you taste something that is not something that you can put into your mouth? The taste, the sense of taste is on the tongue. Something that you can't even put into your tongue, how are you going to taste it? So therefore some scholars explain that this is actually a figurative expression. It doesn't mean literally to taste something. What it means is that this person will be truly content, this person will be truly happy, and various other explanations of this nature. But many of the Mufassireen, the Muhaddithin, they say, no, there's no need to go into anything figurative. The tongue has the sense of taste, but why? Allah Ta'ala put the sense of taste in there. And Allah Ta'ala put the sense of smell in the nose. Allah Ta'ala created the sense of sight in the eye. And the sense of feeling on the hand. But the same Allah created the taste in the heart for the taste of Iman. And when this taste of Iman comes, just as when the tongue tastes something sweet, something very delicious, then the entire being of the person enjoys it. It's not like only his tongue is enjoying it, but the rest of his body doesn't feel anything. He himself enjoys it. From head to toe he's enjoying it. Now his tongue is tasting it, and he's so engrossed because of that taste. You're talking to him, he didn't hear you. His tongue is also, his ears are not even functioning now. Because his ears also got engrossed in that. And his eyes, somebody passed by, close by, he didn't see who came and who went. His eyes got so engrossed into that taste as well. Likewise, when the taste of Iman comes in the heart, all the glitter and glamour of the world that passes by him, he doesn't know what came and went. And he hears about all these big, big figures. And previously, they used to say six figures used to sound like very big. Now they say they're talking about 12 figures. Then the calculator can't handle it. But you say, so what? وَكُلُّ فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ تُرَابُ Everything above the sand is also sand. Everything on this earth is also sand. It came from sand, it's going to go back to sand. So in other words, why should this dazzle the eyes? Why should this become the focus of the heart and mind? In the normal course of things, somebody has put in some normal effort, and in that Allah blessed him with whatever his risk is. Alhamdulillah, he earned it in a halal way, mashallah. He uses it correctly and earn akhirat, very good. But that can never become the focus of life for a mu'min. That cannot become the purpose of his life. So now this expression is of tasting. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Zaqa ta'am al-Iman. He has tasted the sweetness of Iman. Now this tasting, we understand with the physical tongue, that tasting requires some, that the tongue, in order for it to taste correctly, and to enjoy the sweetness of something, to enjoy the good taste of that food, then it must be safe from all kinds of illnesses, diseases. The tongue must not be the tongue of a person who's severely ill. He's got a severe flu and all his sinuses are clogged. And as a result now, the taste buds are also now affected. Now this person is eating something sweet. It's very bitter, it's tasteless or whatever. Some bitter things he's being presented. He says, this sounds right, this feels nice. This is tasting good. So now if anybody is offered some good food, some sweet things to eat, and he says, but this is tasting bitter, or it's tasteless, I don't have any interest in eating this. So what will be the comment on it? What will be the analysis of this? This person is ill. This person is ill. He's eating something which is very sour. He says, but this is tasting sweet. See, this is a sign of sickness. So likewise, for that heart to taste, just as for the tongue to taste correctly, now you have to make ilaj, you have to treat it. Treat that flu, treat those, whatever sicknesses are there, so that when the health comes back, when the health is restored, now that tongue will taste correctly. Now it will be inclined, the person will be inclined towards what is wholesome, what is good, what is sweet. So likewise, this person who, he seems, can't seem to taste his heart, something is, what is really sweet, the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the Quran Sharif, to hasten towards the call of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that the Muazzin is calling out. This is all at the highest level of sweetness. But if this is feeling burdensome, there's disinclination towards it, person doesn't seem to have any drive to go to the house of Allah ta'ala. There's a huge effort to now just get himself out of the bed, which doesn't happen so often. The sign of sickness. There's a problem. Like the tongue is tasting sweet things bitter, there's a big problem. And the bitter things, if the bitter things are tasting good, the sign of severe illness. Person has got a deep inclination towards music now. There's a very severe illness. Sometimes I see people, some whatever their conditions are, you know, because of that illness, the person wants to do all, eat all kinds of really weird things. And so that's meaning that the health is not in order. There's a big problem. Now the person wants to look at haram, and that is where his heart and mind is stuck in. That's a sign of severe illness. Person gets enjoyment in talking obscenities, but to bring the zikr of Allah ta'ala on his tongue is just not happening. That's a sign of sickness. So now just as this tongue can't taste correctly, if it is sick, it needs to be treated. This heart won't taste the sweet taste of Iman if it is filled with sicknesses, with diseases, with all the haram lust that it's being engaged in, the various other ailments of the heart, the jealousy, the malice, the pride, all these things that bring zulmat in the heart. How this heart is going to taste the sweetness of Iman with it? So now this requires that this has to be treated. So now when this heart is treated, it will taste Iman. And when it tastes Iman, then what will be the outcome? Now there's many, everything good will be the outcome. But now just to understand this outcome, in the light of one or two incidents, then what will be the outcome? The outcome is that a person then is completely attached to Allah Ta'ala in all conditions. And while insan is insan, sometimes something happens, he thinks also, maybe some fear will come, some anxiety maybe, some worry. These things are part of human nature, but nothing will overwhelm him. And he will be connecting himself to Allah Ta'ala in all conditions. And the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the Quran Sharif highlights their incident. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba were now in Madina Munawwara, and this whole coalition of kufr, the Ahzab, فَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ, all the forces of the kuffar, the Quraysh and everybody gathered together to come and pounce on Madina Munawwara. And this huge army, they came and surrounded Madina Munawwara, the Battle of the Trench. And from every side, the situation was such a situation that the Quran Sharif describes it as وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. There was such level of fear that any time from some direction this attack will happen, that the expression is that the, as we will say, hearts were in the mouth. But then Allah Ta'ala describes the heart of the Sahaba. وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ, when they saw all these coalition forces of the kufr, coalition all surrounding Madina Munawwara, what was their response? قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وصدق الله ورسوله وما زادهم إلا إيمانا وتسليما. See, so all this is around us. This level of fear has reached so high. This severe test has come. But هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله. This is what Allah and His Rasul already promised, meaning He already declared this beforehand, that these tests and trials will come in dunya. So, وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ. Allah and His Rasul, what they said was 100% true. And we had this yaqeen from before. Now when we're seeing it with our eyes, what's the outcome? That we're giving in, becoming despondent, we're succumbing. No, nothing of that. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. It increased their iman and their surrender to Allah. Now the severe difficulty, everything is gone against them outwardly. It seems like survival is now, there's no chance of survival. But in the midst of that too, they were composed. Natural fear was natural, part of insan. But in the midst of all that, they didn't lose their composure. They didn't become despondent. They surrendered even more to Allah Ta'ala. And their yaqeen increased even more. But now when will this be the case? When beforehand that heart is able to taste. That zaqa ta'am al iman. This is that iman, that yaqeen. When the sahaba went to Habasha, and well, this was the other lengthy hadith. So in any case, in the hadith way in Bukhari Sharif, Hiraql, so now he is questioning them about the various things of deen and so on. And then he is, one of the questions he asked, that when anybody comes into this deen, do they leave it? They come, they've accepted it properly, do they leave it? So he said, no, nobody leaves. Anybody who's come genuinely, nobody leaves. So when he now analyzed all the answers, he said, كَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانِ هِنَ تُخَالِطُ بَشَاشَتُهُ الْقُلُوبِ. This is the effect of faith. When the reality of faith is imbibed into the heart. When the reality of faith, the reality of iman, when it's imbibed in the heart, now this is that heart tasting iman. When this heart tastes iman, what is it now? Is just on the top, just in words, or just very, very superficial, that's now another matter. Then one gust sometimes drives it away. But when it's deep down in the heart, and the heart has tasted that iman, then nothing can remove it. Then that heart, the roots of iman are deep down in their heart. As in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala describes iman with the description of a tree. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبًا. Allah Ta'ala gives the example of kalimatan tayyiba. Example of iman is being described with what? Kashajaratin tayyiba. With a pure tree. And what is the example of this tree? How is it? Asluha thabit. Its roots are firmly embedded in the ground. That's an iman firmly embedded in the heart. And wa faruha fis sama. And its branches high up in the sky. Such a huge tree. That huge tree doesn't just become huge just like that. Because the tree itself starts off with that seed, then the trunk comes. Now it depends how many branches will come through. It'll depend how high those branches go. Now likewise, when that iman is there in the heart, alhamdulillah, it's in the heart. But how many branches will come, it'll depend on the individual. He decided he's only going to make his salah, his farz, fasting. He says, well, only this is necessary. Only when it comes to deen, then we're looking for what is necessary, I did that. When it comes to our food, we don't say, well, only this is necessary, to eat something basic, simple, that's sufficient. All the rest of the extra is not necessary. The day-to-day things in life, how many things, maybe more than half of what we possess is not necessary. Maybe 70% not necessary, we could have done without it. But it gives more comfort, it makes things more better. It makes life a little more easier. It's not necessary. But also deen, what is necessary? That's what we do. But now the person who says, no, it's not a matter of what is necessary. What is going to bring greater branches of iman? Now there's more branches, there'll be more leaves. There's more leaves, there'll be greater shade. Greater shade will be better enjoyment of that shade. There's more branches, there'll be greater number of flowers on it. And the more the flowers will be there, it'll be giving greater comfort because that beautiful scenery of those flowers and the greater number of branches and far and wide those branches are reaching out. So there'll be so much more fruit of that tree. And that fruit will benefit so many more people. So likewise, the more amal a person brings in his life, he's now exerting himself in tilawat, in nawafil salah, in dhikr, in tasbihah, in efforts of deen, in helping others, everything that brings him closer to Allah Ta'ala. He says, well, this is also something to do. This will bring another whole branch out. This will bring so much more leaves and flowers and fruit out. So now he benefits so much more greater. His heart is so much more content and happy. And he feels so much more relaxed, regardless of all the halal that are sometimes surrounding him. But within himself is at ease. And the biggest thing is, he's not looking for anything else out there. Especially in this time of the year, everybody is looking at appeasing themselves in some way. They're chasing some taste of something somewhere. There's some taste. Now, relax somewhere, really have a feeling. See, it's unwinding time. By the time you return, you got so wound up. He says he needs something else to unwind from there. So now what happened? If this had all the promise of unwinding and whatever else, how come he got even more greater wound up? Things got even more complicated. And things were even more difficult sometimes. So these things don't bring what we, that illusion that we are chasing. Deen hasn't prohibited us from taking some rest. But all these things have its limits. From giving some rest to the mind, that's not something that Deen has prohibited, rather encouraged it. But what Deen has encouraged, now a person goes to an environment with all kinds of nudity taking place there, shamelessness is the name of the game there, everything is all against the dictates of Deen, against what is conducive to Iman. How is that heart ever going to be at rest? That heart is going to be in a dungeon. That heart is going to be restless. There's going to be never any satiation, never any kind of satisfaction. There's just going to be one kind of restlessness after the other. Why? Because that heart's nourishment is that which brings it closer to Allah. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. That's the nourishment of the heart. And if the stomach doesn't get its nourishment, no matter what you put into the stomach, but what the stomach requires, good wholesome food, that doesn't go into the stomach, that pangs of hunger will get worse. And likewise, whatever other faculties Allah has blessed us with, each thing has its own nourishment. The nourishment of the heart, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. The remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, obedience of Allah Ta'ala, so the hearts get this peace, the satisfaction. So this is what we have to aspire for, we have to work towards. We're talking about the outcome when this taste of Iman comes in the heart. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was ascending on Mi'raj, the revival of Musnad Ahmad, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was going on Mi'raj, there was a wonderful scent, a fragrance that was coming through at some point. So he asked Jibreel salatu wasalam, that this wonderful fragrance, where is this from? So he said, well, this is the maid of Fir'aun who used to be responsible for combing the hair of his daughters and whoever. That was her job. She's the maid of Fir'aun. And this fragrance, says, yes, her and her child. So he went, what was the issue? What was the story behind this? She said, well, she had accepted Iman. Musa al-Islam was calling to Allah Ta'ala, his da'wah reached her. So she accepted Islam secretly. And now one day while busy combing the hair of one of Fir'aun's daughters, that comb fell. So she said, Bismillah, to pick it up. She said, Bismillah, Bismillah in the name of Allah. So the daughter of Fir'aun said, you're referring to my father. She said, no, I'm referring to my Rabb and the Rabb of your father. She said, what, you believe in some other Rabb apart from my father? She said, yes, the Rabb who is the Rabb of your father as well. She said, I'm going to inform him. So you can do as you please. So now Fir'aun is informed. So Fir'aun calls and questions her. The crux of it is, he says, no, I believe in Allah. I don't believe in you. You're not my Rabb. So now when she refused to forsake Iman, so all her children, one cauldron was put up with that boiling water in it, one after the other all were thrown in it. And then eventually she had a child in her hand, little tot, infant. So she sort of hesitated because of the infant. Now that this child also is going to be thrown in and I'm going to be thrown in with. So the child spoke. Miraculously, the child spoke. And the crux of it was, no need to fear, the azab of dunya is nothing compared to the azab of akhirat. So don't worry about this. Once this happens, we go into jannah. So the place where they were buried, those bones were buried in all some put together in one place, the fragrance that was emanating from there, the least house of God, by way of man. But now this was the effect of that submission. That's all. What? If I have to give my life for Allah Ta'ala, give my life for Deen, but who is ready to do that? Who can be ready to surrender their life for Allah Ta'ala? The one who's tasted Iman. Now this is the surrender for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, seeing one's children also all getting thrown into that cauldron, oneself, but Deen must be upheld. The word of Allah Ta'ala might be upheld. Now let us think of our situation, and especially these times of the year, how everything is happening now, so I can't miss out also. Otherwise, I'll also suffer from this illness. They say FOMO, the fear of missing out. So now something or the other, all the time we have to check what's going on. We have to be where everybody is. We have to be what we, because otherwise we're missing out something or the other. And then all the time we have to be on all the groups, because we can't miss out on what the rest of the world is doing also. But in that process, we missed out on all the good things in life, those things that connect us to Allah Ta'ala. We missed out on this taste of Iman. We missed out on all those things that become the true pleasure and happiness in dunya, which brings a true contentment, that happiness in the heart, and what will become the means of that everlasting happiness of akhirat, all that we missed out. So now this is this ta'amal iman, that the halal, whatever it is, bringing this taste of iman in the heart, this will supersede everything. This is that submission to Allah Ta'ala. So this is the effort that has to be made. Everything requires an effort. This requires an effort as well. The hadith sharif, just to complete it, time is already run out. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, la ta'amal iman, who will taste it? Number one, man radiya billahi rabba. The one who's pleased with Allah being his Rabb. Pleased with Allah being his Rabb, he's totally content with Allah. He doesn't have any talab for anything else. And Allah is the Rabb, meaning he's totally content that Allah is the one who is sustaining me. Allah is the one who is controlling everything, the entire universe. So I have to surrender myself to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The uluhiyat of Allah Ta'ala, Allah alone is worthy of worship. So now he's not looking for anything else. And what be Islam in Deena, he's totally happy with Islam being his way of life. What does this mean? All the ahkam of Deen, all the laws of Deen, he's wholeheartedly accepted it. He doesn't have any reservation about any command of Deen. See, but now how does this fit into my society and our community, and my family structure is something else? Now this is a little bit wholehearted surrender to Allah. Now how he's happy with Allah Ta'ala, with Islam being his deen. And Abu Muhammad in Rasulah is happy with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the Rasul, his Rasul. Meaning the way of life that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown, he's happy to walk in that footsteps entirely. Doesn't look left and right in any way. Everything about his life now, he is seeking only one direction. Seeking the footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's what gives him everything. The Yahud, the Nasara, their way of life, their styles, their dressing, their functions, and all the things that go about. How unfortunately, because we drift and drift, one is now outwardly certain things start resembling, and then it goes to what level? Things that are clearly prohibited in deen, but the Yahud and Nasara do it in a certain way, it has to happen like that. Now somebody is getting, now proposed, now there has to be an engagement. To start off with, where that engagement came from? In deen, that proposal is a commitment now, that things have now been accepted, there's a commitment, there is a nikah. But now this engagement must happen. And then in that engagement, what? So now the bride and groom to be, they'll sit next to each other. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It's haram. But now the Yahud do it like this. Nobody says it in those words. But because they do it like that, we have to do it. That's where it came from. The Nasara do it like that, that's why we have to do it. So if anybody is told to their face in that manner, they'll deny it, reject it, and get upset about it. But why else is it being done? But now this is because we've left this path. SubhanAllah, this was a very, such a concise hadith. But it gives us the entire route to reach Allah Ta'ala. Gives us the direction to connect to our Rabb. ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا أَبِ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا أَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولَا. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we bring this deep down in our hearts, this complete surrender to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. All these other things, customary things, things that have got no basis in deen, and things that are actually from the Yahud and Nasara, Allah knows best wherever it came from, has got nothing to do with deen. We have to abandon all these things, turn to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, bring our lives onto the path of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is where the taste of life is. The taste of life is not anything else. This is where it is. The rest of it is just a deception, outwardly very glamorous. Behind the glamour, there's another story. Allah Ta'ala save us from all the deceptions of nafs and shaitan, the traps of nafs and shaitan. Allah keep us on steadfast on deen, take us on perfect iman. Raise us from the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet Imam. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله جل جلاله عم بلاله. الله 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 الله
Islam in your name, Ya Allah. You protect us, Ya Allah. Protect our Iman, Ya Allah. Protect our Amal, Ya Allah. Protect the Iman, Amal of our children, Ya Allah. Our families, Ya Allah. The entire Ummah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Keep us steadfast and grant us istiqamah of being, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Let us follow the world, Ya Allah. Cover the Muslims, Ya Allah, in any kind of pain, suffering, hardship. Remove their difficulties, Ya Allah. Remove their suffering, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat to one and all, Ya Allah.
الحمد لله.